support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Tuesday. This is Seattle Now. A new community garden is in the works in Shoreline. It all started with a canless chef and some spectacular fruit trees. More about the garden's unlikely path to a shared community pea patch from some of the people who made it happen in a minute. But first, let's get you caught up. A pro-Palestinian protest shut down the entrance to SeaTac Airport for 3 hours yesterday. Seattle Times reports 46 people were arrested. Demonstrators in cars brought traffic to a standstill during rush hour with a blockade across the expressway. The road reopened around 6 p.m. It was just one of several planned protests locally and around the country yesterday, calling for an end to the Israel-Hamas war. The Pacific Northwest Office of the Anti-Defamation League will release its annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents this afternoon. Last year's audit found Washington had 65 anti-Semitic incidents in 2022. That's the most since the ADL began tracking in 1979. Around this time last year, Capitol Hill's Temple to Hersh Sinai was vandalized with Holocaust-denying graffiti. And yesterday was tax day. Washington lawmakers are taking a victory lap on the state's direct file pilot program. Taxpayers in 12 states, including Washington, were able to file directly with the IRS for free. Washington Senator Patty Murray says people who used the service claimed more than $30 million in refunds and saved millions in filing fees. That's it for now. Come back tonight for evening headlines with Paige Browning. An effort to restore a unique property and turn it into a community garden is underway in Shoreline. For many weekends, a handful of volunteers have been hacking away at blackberries and other vegetation that have aggressively enveloped this land adjacent Shoreline Community College. Their efforts reveal a carpet of lilies and what was once a koi pond with a bridge.
This is amazing progress.
I know, from last week.
This is amazing.
It's happening.
It definitely takes a bit of effort to see past the dilapidated house and overgrown vines, but once you see it, wow.
Oh, look at that.
It looks like a brush painting. It's just so, the way the branches come out.
All around are fruit trees, pink and white buds, varieties of apples, Asian pear, plums, persimmon. In the 50s, the home and property were owned by longtime Canlis executive chef Joe Ching. His daughter, Pam Ching Bunge, says her dad learned to cook in the Army, where he was known for spicing things up. Pam met up with me on a rainy spring afternoon at her childhood home. She says her dad's path to Canlis occurred after a chance meeting with Peter in Hawaii.
He was working just at a regular little hamburger place, and Peter Canlis came by and started talking to my dad. And my dad loves to talk to people, so those two hit it off. And Canlis, of course, started his first restaurant in Honolulu, and my dad went to work for them over there. And then when Peter Canlis decided to open the restaurant in Seattle, he asked my dad to move over and help him open that.
Back then, the Ching's Shoreline home was a vibrant jewel in the neighborhood. Joe and his wife, Jenny, grew organic vegetables and fertilized the soil with coffee grounds before either one of those were a thing. These days, it looks more like a derelict property. And it was until December, when it was purchased by a nonprofit to be restored as a community space. It all started during the pandemic when, like many of us, nearby neighbor Kathleen Lumiere was out on a walkabout.
I was wandering by and I saw these plums over the fence of this neglected property. And they were ripe and delicious looking and delicious in fact. And it was like, oh, wow, this is an amazing, amazing place.
She kept coming back. Through the overgrowth, Kathleen could see the bones of what the Chings had cultivated all those years ago.
It was obvious to me as an explorer that this was an incredibly rich place. It had really, really good soil. My dad was a horticulturalist. So I could tell that the soil was amazing, and it didn't make any sense that an abandoned blackberry patch would have such amazing soil and such vigorous fruit trees, even though they had been neglected for so long. They were still producing.
Kathleen needed to know more. She started asking around. Neighbors remembered the Chings for the beauty of their trees and flowers and their warm generosity. Notable during a time when it wasn't always reciprocated. The family had to navigate racial covenants to purchase their home. Pam says it was Peter Canlis who helped figure out a workaround for his trusted executive chef.
Peter Canlis bought the property for my parents on the condition that the two neighbors on either side agreed to have a non-white neighbors, and one was a pastor and he agreed, and the other one, they didn't care. So that's how we got the property. Peter Canlis graciously bought it and then sold it to my dad.
In the restaurant, Joe was known as much for his culinary expertise as his friendly good nature. At home in Shoreline, Jenny Ching, who was forced into incarceration during World War II, was a prolific gardener of flowers and vegetables. The yard was so beautiful, it was frequently featured on Ed Hume's television show Gardening in America. Ed noticed the garden driving by one day. And that was not unusual. Pam says strangers would stop often to admire their front yard. Her dad would always chat them up and show them around, inevitably sharing whatever was in season.
It was so beautiful because he'd have a fruit tree, then he'd have flowers growing around it. And it was in an Asian style in that there were no straight lines. Mm. All the fruit that he raised, my mom either canned them, we gave them away, or we dried them. A couple years after we moved here and got the land sort of cleared up, my mom and dad threw a big luau, which is a Hawaiian feast. And that's one of my earliest big memories of this property. And I remember them having a pit for the emu over there. And yeah, no, really good memories.
As the Chings got older, even with family help, it became harder to maintain the property. Joe Ching passed away in 2005, and Jenny eventually went into assisted living before she too passed. In 2014, they sold the place, and a development company ignored it for a decade. Pam says it broke her heart to drive by.
I live in Edmonds, and I always would deviate. I couldn't stand driving by here because it was so derelict, and it was just awful. My father and my mother worked so hard to keep this place picture perfect.
The Ching's history and the resilience of this land and these trees resonated with Kathleen. So in 2021, she wrote a letter to the Shoreline City Council proposing to preserve this space as an Asian American heritage site and pea patch.
And also in the context of that, to bring the spirit of the Ching family forward, because they were so gracious and so inclusive and warm and joyful, the way they would bring people into their home and their kitchen and their lives.
Often timing is everything, and timing was right. People were aching for community. Also, anti-Asian violence was becoming more prevalent. The idea caught the attention of King County Councilmember Rod Dembowski, then a successful grant from King County Conservation Futures. It wasn't easy. The developer who owned the property wasn't interested in making a deal. Eventually, a last-minute bridge loan from the Canlis family helped the project's fiscal sponsor, Grow, purchase the property in December for $1.8 million. Work on the Ching Community Garden is officially underway.
Tell me what you're doing.
I am pruning a fig tree that hasn't been cared for in a long time.
Diggin' Shoreline's John Ruby is just one of the community partners out here leading the cleanup effort.
Also, it's been kind of a hazard for a lot of people to walk around head height with branches hitting you in the face.
You're definitely opening up a work area here.
Yeah, and stimulating new growth.
John sees this place as an opportunity to educate people and grow food for the community.
Derek Fowler works nearby, shaping a large, gnarly juniper that's recently been liberated from a wall of blackberries. Its dead undergrowth shows the juniper's hardship. The green top shows its promise.
So that's why we saw the value in it. And it's an original Qing planting. And so anything that we can do to secure these plants and keep them representing the vision that was in place when they started planting these things is really it's us bowing our heads to the vision that they had in mind when they created this garden.
Pam says she cried when Kathleen first contacted her with the idea. Now it's come full circle.
First of all, I think my parents would just be thrilled, tickled pink, because of all the love and work and what it meant to them.
It's going to be a while before the Qing Community Garden will be ready for prime time, but they're always taking volunteers. For Pam, even the work to bring this place back to its richness and beauty speaks to and honors Joe and Jenny's spirit.
One of the things that I really enjoyed growing up here were all the neighbors. Mm. And they were lifetime friends, especially my mom. And that was just really a wonderful feeling. And that the neighborhood and, of course, the community will feel as welcome. And really, it adds so much spirit to the place.
Really looking forward to the Qing Community Garden's progress. We'll drop a link in the show notes if you're interested in helping out. Thanks for listening to Seattle Now, and extra thanks to the generous listeners who financially support this show. Today's episode was reported and produced by me. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez. Our production team also includes Claire McGrain, Vaughn Jones, Andy Hurst, and Paige Browning. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR Network. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you later.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.